Well, guys, welcome to Affirm Family Church, and elders and staff agreed last week it was a great beginning to our new beginning in this church building, and we're very excited for you that were able to be a part of it last week, and we're thankful that you that came back and you that are maybe first time here part of it this week. Speaking of which, I tried to give all of Casey and Danny's college friends and roommates a chance to introduce them, but they didn't, so I will be honored to, and I know the reason they didn't is because it's not their first time with us. But Danny and Casey, if you just stand up. I don't do this to everybody, but I can to them. Casey lived with us for a while, so I can do it. But this is Casey and Danny and their daughter, Maeve. Is that Maeve? And they were part where they came to college here when they were single, got together, got married, had Maeve, and now very involved in a church in, they live in Placer, in church in El Dorado Hills, I think the church is, called Vintage Grace, a great church. We've been there a lot of times. But we're just blessed to have them here. So, guys, thanks for coming. Sorry your friends wouldn't introduce you. I'm proud of you. Sorry they were not. It was Caleb, Tanner, Micah. Can I go on and on? Any of them could have, you know? Well, welcome, guys. Good to have you here. One other thing that I want to make sure remember is today in the meat of the middle hour, which is the end of this service. We're right on time, by the way. We'll see if I can stay with that. At the end of this service is the meat of the middle hour, like 10:15 to 10:50. If you have any interest in hearing more about the children's ministry that we're thinking about launching, praying about launching, planning on launching for kids in K through fifth grade, if you have any interest in that, whether it be by serving, whether it be by just information, in the meat of the middle hour, just go grab a quick donut. The rest of you move aside. They're coming through. And then they're going to meet right back here. Just behind this wall are all the children's rooms. So if you don't have children, you don't even know what's back there, but there's a lot. And but if you'll just meet back there, like at around 10:20 or so, then there's going to be information on that back there. So I want you to know about that. All right, with that, who can tell me, this is, as a teacher, I would always say, if I gave a test and everybody failed it, I failed as a teacher. And so who can tell me what was, I wanted you to leave last week with one thing. I said that's kind of my new goal is every week that you leave with just one thing. You don't need to have 10 things, just one. Any remember what the one, and you don't have to have it word for word, but what was the big picture of the one thing I hoped you left with last week? Some of you got to come through for me. Where is Lindy when I need her? She's up at the campgrounds. Karen, try. The church is a gift from God. Karen is the A student. That's why she's in the front row. That's why we like her. Guys, all I wanted you to leave with last week is notes. All I wanted you to leave with is to realize that God's gift to us is the church to help us develop a faith that is real and friends that are true. It's his gift to us. And it's been abused, it's been persecuted, there's been all kinds of stuff, but it is his gift to us. So that's what I wanted you to leave with last week. Now that was hard because she only got to one. This is a tougher question. Who can remember what I said we're going to talk about this week? Again, it's going to be one thing, but anybody remember what I said we're going to go? We're going to talk about for the next 10 weeks, rediscovering church. And so we talked last week that it's a gift to us, and then I talked about one thing this week. Anybody remember? And you have a chance, I mean, this I only said one time. I talked about how the church has an image problem. And I'm going to try and prove that to you today, but that's what I talked about. And I want to talk today about us rebranding the church, us giving the name, us giving the reputation of the church that it deserves, and not the one that doesn't deserve. So that's what I'm going to do, is hopefully try and do that. I also told you again, my reset is to leave you with one thing, and all I'm going to do today is to leave you with the one thing, and hopefully you will see how important, imperative, whatever word you can use, it is for us to love one another. If we're going to rebrand the church, that is the first thing that I think we need to realize. We need to love one another well. That the church can, people on the outside can look in and say, what is it about those people that they so love each other and they're so different? Tate wears cowboy boots and this guy wears tennis shoes and this guy's barefooted. Why do they still love each other? And there's a lot go bigger than that. But that's the idea we're going to do there. I'm going to have you help me. Now, this has double goals. I have a goal of each week of keeping our messages right around 20 minutes in the 9 o'clock service. But I can cheat by kind of putting a community builder kind of in there. So the next few minutes is counting towards community builder time, not towards my message time, just so you know that. But the community builder time is I want you to answer the question and just tell us your name. Because not who in here knows everybody's name? See, we've got work to do. We've got work to do. So we're just going to have you just tell us your name and then this question. But what are the words that you wish that when the people out there in the world, and by the way, when I'm talking about the church today, it's not talking about Firm Family Church. It's talking about the church universal, the church at large. But what do you wish when people said, the word church, what words do you wish came to their mind? You wish came to their mind. Who? Just tell me your name and what word you wish came to their mind. Come on, it's not a trick question. Yes, Ed Holberg, and you can tell us your name. Okay, I get so excited sometimes, Ed. Love. We wish to think of that. What else? Keep going. The church. Mike, over here. Forgiveness. Great. A forgiving people. Elijah Phillips. Good. Yes. Kellen Coppedge. And just say your first and last, because somebody might know your wife and not you, but just trying to get us to know each other. Kellen Coppedge. Inviting. Welcoming. Keep going. Yes. Over here. Yes. Macklin. Macklin Ashenbrenner. Army of Christians, just a bunch of people together trying to make a difference in the world. Kind of like Texas A&M was an army of football players yesterday beating Alabama, right? Mac is wearing his Texas A&M hat really proud today. I saw that. Yes. Generous. Giving of our time, our resources. What? Just generous. We just are giving people. By the way, guys, you are a generous church. You don't know it. But you paid for about $6,000 worth of Ollie, a guy that's had a street cleaning business for 30 years. He said he started, he was going to be in it for how long, did he say? 6 months. 30 years later, he's still doing it. But we hired him to clean all the sidewalks all the way around this. And then today you saw he's cleaning all the upstairs all the way around. And that's because of your generosity. It really is. Mike didn't have that much. I didn't have that. Matt might have, but he wasn't going to give it all for the street washing. I don't know. No, we just want to say that. But I wish we were known as that. Just generous, the church as whole. Maybe one or two more. Yes, back in the back. Caring. Very good. Didn't tell us your name. Asher Rollins. I like the new haircut, Asher. Caring. One more. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. Amy Lynn, selfless, okay. And I see that varsity jacket. Is that from where? Boyfriend from? Online. Now, why did I know I could do that when I was in high school? Just go buy me a varsity jacket. I didn't know you could do that. I'll have to learn these things. All right. Well, those are things we wish we said. Now we're going to switch gears a little. And just tell me and be honest. Again, your name. And what are your non-Christian friends? Or the friends at school, or the friends at work, what are the words they would first use to describe, not Firm Family Church, but the church at large? What words come to their mind? Yes. Hypocritical. Number three answer, the survey says. But yes, hypocritical is one of the words that I think most of us have heard somebody say about the church for sure. What else? Yes. Judgmental. So rather than being inviting and inclusive and welcoming, we're judgmental. You're in, you're out. Somebody else. A couple more. There's more words they say about us. Yes, back in the back. Fake. That we're just fake. So again, we pretend to be one thing. We're really not. We just put on masks all the time. One or two more. Yes. Not fun. Very good. The survey said boring, but he says not fun. I think they're kind of synonyms, the same thing. Yeah, not fun. Who says we can't be fun? We have a lot of fun together when we're together. One more maybe. Come. Yes. Name, Celeste? Judgmental. Okay. Let me just give you the words that Barna does a lot of research, and they're pretty fair at how they do it, and they pretty much are trying to really get right answers. So they've interviewed thousands of people, asked that question. What's the first word that comes to your mind when you think of church? Number one answer was homophobic. Now, let me go back. This is for those interviewed between ages 16 and 29. So it is a younger generation. But their number one answer, 91% of the people said homophobic, number one. Number two, 87% of the people, judgmental. Number three, 85% of the people said hypocritical, 78% old-fashioned, 72% too involved in politics, and next were boring and confusing. None of those words that it came up with so readily are what we want to be branded as. So our work is cut out for us. We have a challenge for us. One more quick thing that I'm going to pray. Does anybody want to guess what is the word that God uses most in the New Testament that he calls his church? An adjective maybe, but I don't know my grammar well enough. Maybe this adjective is something about possessive, so maybe it's a possessive pronoun. I don't even know what it is. But what does he say one word mostly about his church? Anybody want to guess? Beloved is right over and over and over again. God says about the church, it's his beloved people. I'm going to read, I said I was going to pray, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to pray. At first glance, the house of God is unremarkable, a regular gathering of ordinary people committed to a largely invisible mission. We're young and old, male and female, single and married, unemployed and overworked. None of us is much to look at. We sing slightly off key, and we can't always clearly articulate the faith we profess. Anyone can see that our diverse personalities, political views, and parenting styles don't easily harmonize. And even our most spiritually mature members sometimes stumble into quarrels, petty jealousies, and grumbling. And yet about that group of people, God says, they are my beloved. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you would help us today just learn something about how that we might love one another better, deeper, more like how you love us. Father, may we be imitators of you. As we look briefly today at your love for us, may we love each other in that way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, guys, I wanted to start with a verse you've heard me say so many times, but Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, he sent his son to prove his love for us. So at our worst, he loved us. We need to understand that. Important to see, he loves us not because of who we are or because of what we've done or because of what we've not done, but because of who he is. And that's very important. Great quote. I don't know if it's on the board or not. God does not find people who are beautiful and then decide to love them. Rather, he makes the objects of his love beautiful. People, I hope that we'll allow God to start making us more and more beautiful. And one of the most beautiful things we can be is loving and caring and forgiving and inviting. All those words you said about the church, if we could become those people, we would be beautiful people. And that's what we're going to hope for to do today. If you're comfortably able, if you'll stand, I'm going to read our passage for today. It's just a very short two verses. And we do this just out of honor and reverence to God's word to kind of remind ourselves, oh yeah, this isn't just a book. This is God's written word. He inspired the men to write it. Every word is proven true and it's infallible. And so that's why we stand just out of reverence to it. But reading 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Now, that's the only two verses we're going to look at today as far as in depth. But I wanted, first of all, trying to convince you why love is so important. One of you said you wish we were known as a loving church, the church as a whole. But I'm just sharing four of literally dozens upon dozens of verses in the New Testament that talk about the preeminence, the importance of love. But see if these aren't enough to convince you. John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus is speaking. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, our love for one another, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's one pretty good reason. 1 Peter 4, 8, above all. So take everything else away. Above all, at the top, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. The reality, guys, is we all are sinners who stumble in many ways. The whole Bible talks about we're all sinners. The book of James talks about we all stumble in many ways. And you and I know that. This week, I got to see my own stumbles in upfront and personal, and it wasn't pretty, and yet I realized God still loves me, the unlovely. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. He's tying our whole knowledge of him, relationship to him, into how well we love one another. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, and I'm going to read it now. As Apostle Paul wrote it and was inspired to write it, I'm going to read at the end of how I paraphrase it for, I'll shift from then, the Church Universal to the Church of Firm Family Church. So just remember this verse. This is now God's word written. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Pretty high premium he puts on the importance of love in our lives. And then just one more verse, this idea about loving one another. One more verse, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God. And that's important for us to remember. We're going to look at just briefly, how did God love us? We're to imitate that in our love for one another. So the way that God loved me, I'm supposed to love Seth. I'm supposed to love his dad, Sean. That's how I'm supposed to imitate that love towards others. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So all of that is kind of we talked about what we're to do. We are to love one another. Now I just want to shift in the sense of how do we do that? And we know the command, we know the importance of it, but how do we do it? And I personally think it's really done in simple ways, not these huge complex ways. I think it's done in simple ways, and I hope to help us see that today. I'm going to read one more time. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is one, I do weddings because I love young people, and I love doing weddings. And this is one, I have about five verses that I use in a different wedding. One per, don't get nervous, I'm going to do all five in one wedding. Poor Ashley's over here, where's Ashley at? I just saw her. She's probably a little nervous thinking, he's doing our wedding, he's going to do five verses in that message. No, one verse. This is one of the ones I usually use, or one of the ones I sometimes choose to use. But just describe God's love for us, and we're just going to go through it very briefly. If we're to imitate his love for us, let's look at how he loved us. The first part is, how did he love us? He took initiative. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So that's the first thing we're going to try to imitate in a few minutes about how it goes, but it's important to know he who knows us best loves us most, and he took initiative. He knows everything about you. You're the only one who thinks you know everything, and you've probably hidden motives in your own heart. God knows all of them, and he still loves you, and he still took initiative to do that. Remember, God loves the unlovely, and the truth of it is, each of us knows, we're the only ones who knows how unlovely we are. But he still loves us. We need to know that. Today, the song's a song. Our sins are many. His mercy is more. And the other song about it's amazing grace. It is amazing that God loves us when we know who we are and how lovely we really, unlovely we really are. If we're going to imitate his love, we need to love them in people in spite of themselves, not because of themselves. Because God loves us in spite of the things we do and the things we don't do that we should. So one is his love took action. Initiative. Second is his love took action. He took action by sending his son. So there's an action part, verb part to God's love for us. Third part about his love is he made a sacrifice. He says he sent his own son. And you and I have to just realize, what more could he do to prove he loves us? Now we might say, well, if he gave me that car I dreamed of, or the house I dreamed of, or that boyfriend I dreamed of, or that letterman's jacket I wish I had, whatever it might be. But the reality is, nothing would be greater than him sending his own son. So he did make a sacrifice to prove his love for us. And the last part is he met needs. He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We have a problem. The Bible says that our sins, our choosing to be unlovely, our choosing to do our own thing, has caused a separation from us and a very holy God. And it talks about Jesus came to reconcile us, to make us right with that holy God. And that was our need. Our need was for a rescuer. We just sing about it. And God sent Jesus to be our rescuer, to pay the price for our sin. Our need was to be forgiven. Our need was to be rescued from our own sins and reconciled to our Creator. Galatians 2:21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, if I could do enough good things, if I could be good enough, then Christ died for nothing. So a sacrifice was huge because it paid for a need that we had that could no other way be taken care of. Now, We're going to shift from that's just very briefly about his love. We're just going to shift to about our love for one another. I think they're easy ways. One is taking initiative, knowing those we are loving are sinners and fall short just as we do. You have to just bathe all of this in that reality. Everybody in here, and I know if you're sitting next to your wife, it's hard to believe it, but she too stumbles in many ways. See, Lindy's not here. She can't say that about me. She's still camping. But we do. We all do, and we all know that. So just understand, we're talking about these ways to demonstrate love for each other. We're demonstrating them to unperfect people. And they're going to hurt us sometimes. They're going to disappoint us sometimes. You just have to go with that. It's reality. But how can we imitate his love? It's simply by taking initiative, just as God did. So how does that work in a place like this? Don't you wait for someone else to invite you over to make you feel wanted. You invite someone over. And you say, well, I don't have a big house. I don't have a lot of money. Take them to Donuts. Donuts is a cheap place to go. There's a lot, I mean, but you be the one that initiates wanting to get to know someone. I know it's hard because there's extroverts and introverts. They're shy and there's bold. But the reality, if we're going to be like God, we have to initiate love by just inviting people. Another reason is rather than waiting for someone to say, I'm sorry, I offended you, for us just to say, I want you to know I love you and I'm sorry for any way I've offended you. That's how we love as God loved. He moved towards us. Taking action, and these, again, are going to be some very practical things, but the part about initiative is to understand people are imperfect, and we're still going to move towards them by taking initiative, inviting them in, inviting them over, inviting them to sit by us, whatever it might be, and I'm going to give some practical. But this idea of taking action, he sent some action we can take, is simply write notes of thanks, affirmation, or encouragement. Right, I was driving home last night from camping. Danny and Lauren and the four boys and Lindy and I were all camping this weekend for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I came back early because I didn't want to not be with you. And I was listening to Chuck Swindoll on the way home, and he's no young guy anymore because I know I had his high school kids when they were in high school. I had them as students, and he's got to be upper 70s or 80s. He's not old, not young, but he was talking about the value. He's been a pastor for so long, president of a seminary, and he talked about the power of affirmation and encouragement. And I just thought, Lord, I hope our people understand how powerful that is. But I even tried to help you today. There's over on this table where the free books are, there's also free cards. And if you just want to tell somebody in this congregation that you love them, you appreciate them, you want to affirm them, you want to thank them, you want to encourage them, you know they're going through a hard time, if you take it and write the note and put it in the envelope and put it in the connection box, I will see to it that it gets mailed, seal it so I can't peek on what you said to them. I will make sure it gets mailed to them, stamped, and mailed to them. I'll make it that easy for you. But let's be people who find ways to affirm and encourage and love one another. And that's just one way we can do it, one action we can take. Invite someone to join your small group. That's taking initiative. That's taking action. You invite them to be a part of it, to come to your house for dinner, to sit with you during the service. Just ask them to come to service looking for someone to greet. Rather than saying, why was no one coming up to me and greeting me? You just look for someone to greet and go up and greet them. Go to the meet in the middle hour looking for someone who's eating, drinking alone, and just go up and introduce yourself. And guys, some of you know this about me. I will do it, and I wish I knew every one of your names. I know a lot of you, but I don't know everyone. And sometimes I just have to come up and say, hey, I am so sorry. I know your face, but I don't know your name. I'm Will. What's your name? It's okay. We're not expected that we know everybody's name. The last one under taking action, and this is huge, and I think that I know, I'm not sure we do it enough, and that is to pray for one another. That is an action we can take to demonstrate love. Because I believe God does respond to the prayers of his people. He encourages, commands us to pray for one another. It's a way we can demonstrate our love and obedience to God. It's a way we can demonstrate our love for one another. If you know somebody's hurting, pray for them. I read this quote, I don't know when, but it's been a while ago, but it says, if prayer is not vital to your church is not vital. I hope we are praying for one another often. For parents who are raising young children in a world that's very confusing, pray for them to have wisdom and unity and discernment. For people that are older, getting older, pray for them to deal with the aches and pains that are coming their way. I wouldn't know because I'm only 66, but you guys are 67. I heard they come right about then, so maybe they hit, I don't know. But that's just some practical ways to take action. Every one of us can do those. Every one of us could pick a note up today and write to one person and say, I love you, I appreciate you, I'm so thankful to be a part of this church with you. Or we could say, thank you for serving the way you do. Or we could say, I know it's hard for you right now, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you. We could all do that. We could all ask somebody to sit with us, but we could demonstrate love that way. The next one is making sacrifices. Jesus sacrificed his son. I don't think he's called any of us to do that. But I do think some of the things we talked about would involve sacrifices of getting out of my comfort zone, maybe. For me, it's not on my comfort zone to ask you over at all. I love that. But for some, that's very uneasy for you. Or even to walk up and introduce yourself. So that's a sacrifice you would make to demonstrate love. It's sacrifices sometimes of time, sacrifices of money. There are sacrifices made to demonstrate our love for one another. And the last one is to take initiative, meet needs, take action, make sacrifice. The last one is to meet needs. Our need, remember, was to be reconciled to God. And you just have to understand that by God's design, we need relationships with each other. He's the one who said it's not good for man to be alone. He's the one who says, encourage one another, pray for one another, all the one another's. He knows we need each other. And so what is the need we have? We have a need to build relationships together, one another. Needs for, we can do that in the sense of by serving. We can do that by, there's needs also for care, like meal trains. You guys are incredible about that. But rides to church, gutters clean, date nights, you name it. We just, another need is for people to be encouraged. Janae, last week, I loved what you shared about one of the reasons virtual church not really for us is because you can't see people and see their faces and know how they're doing. And I shared, not everybody walks through these doors are doing great. There is a lot of pain out there. They need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged daily, and so we can do that. I'm going to paraphrase now. Again, I'm moving from the big church to us as Firm Family Church, this idea of loving one another. Hopefully you've just seen it's very important to God. It's very doable for us because God loved us. He demonstrated what it's like to take initiative, what's it like to make sacrifices, what's it like to meet needs. We can do a lot of those things. But let me rewrite 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 3. This is a paraphrase written for us. If we fill every seat in both services and are forced to go to three services and have not love, we are wasting the space and our resources. If we come up with the answers to all the perplexing issues facing our city and have faith to believe that our church can be used to bless the city but have not love, we are nothing. If we build 5 homes in January for the poor of Mexico and have faith to plan on building 10 next year, but have not love, we gain nothing. We've got to realize God has laid out love as being a very important thing of who we are. We're unworthy people. We're sometimes lovely people. We fit each other, and yet we're to love one another. I'm going to close by sharing 2 prayers I've prayed for you. One of them I prayed since 2012. That's 9 years. Another since 2015, that's 6 years. July 3rd, 2012, I taught from EV Free. I taught on the prodigal son. And I talked about the prodigal son. I used the words that God demonstrated to him that he was very loved, very special, very important. At that time, I started praying for Firm Family Community Group. It was 9 years ago. We were a community group then, 2012. Started praying that we would be a people to understand how loved we are by God and by each other. For 9 years, once a week, and I don't do it every week. There's some weeks I just forget or miss. I have it written down, so it's hard to forget, but some of you just don't do it. But most weeks, every week for 9 years, I prayed that you and I would know how loved we are by God and that we would feel loved by one another. We can make each other feel loved by the way we treat each other. Then on January 4th, 2015, 6 years ago, Pastor Lou spoke a message from Philippians 1, 9 to 11, and he challenged us as a church to be abounding in love, abandoning all waste, and abundant in harvest. So that prayer, I've been praying that we would be abounding in love for 6 years, once a week, that we as a church, we as a community group to start with, now as a church, would be abounding in love. It would just overflow us, that people would know we love one another. And guys, I hope you know, and if you don't, I'm going to tell you every week, I love you. I love being your pastor. It's not always easy being a pastor. It's not, any of you have a job, it's not always easy doing any job you have. That's what we get paid for, right? No, some of us pastor because we love doing it, but it's still hard. But I feel I'm a very blessed man to pastor you people. And I hope you know you're loved, and I hope we can start learning even more so to love each other, even with our differences, even with our flaws, even with our stumbling many ways, that the world might know we are loving because he first loved us. Let me pray. Father, I do thank you so much that you love us. Each one of us, Father, whether we're standing or sitting, we know how unlovely we are. We know we can sometimes look good, sometimes do good. But, Father, we also know we often stumble and say things that are unkind, think thoughts that are unholy, do actions that are not helpful to anyone, and yet you still love us. Father, I pray we can just understand how great our sins are, but how greater your mercy is, and how amazing truly your grace is. And Father, as we understand your grace, your love, your mercy towards us, may we more and more and more learn how to demonstrate that to one another in ways that are practical, ways that are helpful, and Father, even ways that are visible that others might know we're your children. Thank you for these people, Father. Again, I pray you continue to be changing us, molding us to become more beautiful people than we were yesterday. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.